It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running at a minute past the hour, a minute past 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And we are streaming merrily along on both platforms, both White Road, the White Rose Society stream and the HeadOn.live stream. That's good to know. That means we're off to a good start. It's nice when things work. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Titanic Tuesday on The Horn, this ninth day of October 2018. And we have some manifestations of Titanic intellect to share this evening, without any doubt whatsoever. But before we do anything else, we have thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to our subscriber Kathleen in Minnesota, and thank you very much indeed to our pal Khalil in Fort Worth. Thanks to both of you for helping to keep The Horn on the air and being partial sponsors of independent, liberal, progressive broadcast media. Thank you so very, very much indeed. And thanks also going out to our buddy Michael in Madison and to Paul. Thanks to both of you. That took our fundraising goal from last night, which was at, it would have been $400 tonight, and I can happily announce that the fundraising goal for this evening is now down to a mere $345. And that'll get us caught up all the way up to today. 145 will knock out yesterday, and then 345 will knock out yesterday and today, and we'll be even going into prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and that means the deacons won't have to sweat. And, you know, you don't want to see the deacons sweat. Sweaty deacons are just icky. But, yes, thanks very kindly, Paul and Michael. Thank you very much for getting us to where we are. We, like I said, $345 to finish fundraising through this evening. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live. That's where the PayPal interface is. If you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, the Patreon link is there as well. If you'd like to become a subscriber via the PayPal link, there's a little box you check there after you, and it'll get you set up on a monthly basis. So thanks indeed very, very much. So here we go, Titanic Tuesday, and it was after last night's unseemly little sleaze fest. The president doesn't swear in justices of the Supreme Court, but he wanted his own little swearing in ceremony so that he could strut and pout and apologize. He apologized to Brett Kavanaugh on your behalf and on my behalf, something which I profoundly object to. And, but as noted, I think last night, somehow or another, melanoma just wasn't a. She had a prior engagement. Yes, a prior engagement. Blah. Did melanoma. Yes. By the way, if you want to, if you feel inclined, you're welcome to join in the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Just click on chat room over at headon.live, jump right in. You'll be met by Little Thunder and Otto and Squeaky and VT Blom, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this evening to become Man Cave. Yes. Kind of, it was a nice enough day around here, kind of cloudy-ish. It's a very comfortable 75 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And, I'm going to enjoy it as long as I can. But I'm at least all set. Thanks very kindly to our buddy Tom in the Bay Area, who has made it possible to for me to cut down a little bit on the price of the propane heat with an adapter kit to so that I can use a 20-pound propane. I can fill a little, and it's going to take a big bite out. It probably by about half the propane cost for heating the studio here once the vicious biting winds of winter begin to blow. But as I said, Titanic Tuesday, and today was Brett Kavanaugh's Brat Kavanaugh's first day on the job. And unlike Clarence Slappy Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas, he decided he was gonna talk. He's not gonna sit there and be all silent like. No, he asked his first question today. And when he spoke, sadly, there was no one in the room to scream, "Shut the fuck up, you fucking racist." We haven't figured that part of the problem out yet, but who knows? For all I know, it may be a Class A federal felony to say something mean and hurtful to one of the poor, precious, delicate justices on the tawdry fraud that is the Supreme Court of the United States. But no, there was no one there to say, "Shut the fuck up, you fucking racist," as there should be. Every time Brett Kavanaugh opens his mouth, and maybe the movement will figure this out. Every time Brett Kavanaugh opens his mouth, someone should be sitting in the courtroom and should yell, "Shut the fuck up, you fucking racist." And maybe just make his life miserable enough that he won't want to be a justice anymore. But then again, maybe not. Maybe now that the confirmation process is over, we'll just forget about it and move on. Maybe it'll be like what Chinless Mitch McConnell said, and it'll all just blow over. Because, that happens. People get raped, and then it just blows over. Yeah. Probably disturbing the peace or something would attach, but good God, how many hundreds of people were arrested protesting Kavanaugh? Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe now that we've whispered it into the ear of the universe, somebody can do that. But he did. He spoke for the first time today, and of course, his first question, it turns out, was a question in a criminal matter. The case under argument was Stoeckling versus United States. It's a case centered on the question about the 1984 Armed Career Criminal Act. And that's one of those sentencing enhancement laws that puts people away for longer times, longer sentences, if they are determined to have committed a violent felony. At issue in the case was an individual who had been convicted of robbery, And the question is that arose before the court was whether or not that robbery should be deemed a violent felony in calculating matters under the Armed Career Criminal Act. Yeah. Well, he asked counsel for the defendant, looking for a way to make sure that a criminal defendant has the full weight of law dropped upon him, like the full weight of law was not dropped upon, Brett Kavanaugh any of the times that, he was raping. But he spoke up and he said, but counsel, in Curtis Johnson, you rely heavily on the general statements of the court, but the application of those general statements was to something very specific, battery, and a mere tap on the shoulder, not putting a hand over someone's mouth and trying to grope them through their bathing suit. No, I added that part. And all Curtis Johnson seemed to hold was that was excluded. So why don't we follow what Curtis Johnson seemed to do in applying those general statements to the specific statute at issue here, and why wouldn't that then encompass the Florida statute, which requires more than, say, a tap on the shoulder? And sadly, no one said, shut the fuck up, you fucking rapist, and sit the fuck down and resign. Oh, well. But the October term of the court is well underway, and Brett Kavanaugh is already having an impact. One of his D.C. Circuit decisions was appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. He didn't take part in the consideration of the case at the Supreme Court level, but it did find its way to the Supreme Court, a case called Honeywell versus Mexichem Fluor. And at issue was a rule from the Obama administration that limited the use of hydrofluorocarbons. They're routinely referred to as HFCs. Hydrofluorocarbons are a profoundly powerful climate-damaging class of chemicals. And you can find them in aerosol sprays, you can find them in air conditioners. I guess it's used as either a propellant or a coolant, depending on the particular application. I mention this because yesterday, of course, we opened the program talking about the IPCC report on climate change and its rather shocking and terrifying conclusions. Well, that report, of course, made clear that we have to make dramatic changes in the way that we live on this planet, changes that probably have never been made, but that we're going to have to figure out a way to make them. Well, not according to Brett Kavanaugh, because in Honeywell versus Mexichem Fluor, he decided at the D.C. Circuit level that the Obama administration rule that limited the use of HFCs was impermissible because Negro. No, I mean impermissible because Obama. Impermissible because Kenyan Muslim. No, impermissible because originalism or some such shit. So the Supreme Court got his decision, and they said, nah, you know what, we're not going to take the case. We don't want to review this. And of course, it's a major, it's just a simple majority decision. So that means that one vote is enough to refuse the case. Mm-hmm. And so the those climate devastating chemicals will continue to be used willy nilly as our corporate betters determine they should be. David Doniger is a lawyer and the senior strategic director of the Climate and Clean Energy Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. He told Think Progress, coming only a day after the world's leading climate scientists called for urgent action to curb dangerous carbon pollution, the court's decision lets irresponsible companies continue harming our planet or the planet's ability to sustain human life. But what was behind it all is the fact that the Obama EPA, the Kenyan Muslim EPA, made a rule because, well, nominally at least, their job is protecting the environment. And they made a rule because of what hydrofluorocarbons do to the climate. They said that companies should begin to phase out the use of HFCs in refrigerators and air conditioning and begin to phase in new chemicals that don't do any damage to the ozone layer and don't contribute to climate change. That's when, in 2015, Mexichem Fluor and another company called Arkema sued the EPA. They sued the EPA on the grounds that the EPA didn't have authority to regulate or mandate that HFCs be replaced, because even though hydrofluorocarbons are hell on the climate, they don't deplete the ozone layer. And so Brett Kavanaugh, and by the way, note coming in from Bill in Allentown, subject line, Brat, they should say, shut the fuck up, you misogynist, racist, rapist. Okay, that works for me. I'm just trying to keep things simple here. Brat Kavanaugh wrote, EPA's well-intentioned policy objectives with respect to climate change do not on their own authorize the agency to regulate. Under the Constitution, congressional inaction does not license an agency to take matters into its own hands, even to solve a pressing policy issue such as climate change. So I am therefore using this opinion to put my hand over the mouth of the Environmental Protection Agency. So, chemical company polluters will be able to willy-nilly go ahead and continue to trash the climate because freedom, because originalism, because judicial restraint. And so the Supreme Court of the United States, without Brett Kavanaugh participating, well, they said, "Nah, we don't need to hear that appeal. Who cares? You know, Alito and Ann's boy Neil and Dead-Eyed John Roberts and Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas. And one other, perhaps? Said no thanks. By the way, apparently hydrofluorocarbons place a particularly higher burden on children. You know, like those little girls that Brett Kavanaugh is so fond of coaching in basketball. An EPA proposal on HFCs had language in it regarding the vulnerability, the increased vulnerability of children to climate change. A week or so, more than a week ago, the Trump regime took that language out of the draft EPA proposal on HFCs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try not to be such a little ray of sunshine, but it might be a little difficult this evening. Yeah. No, speaking of climate change, just before airtime, Hurricane Michael was upgraded to a Category 3 storm. It's barreling on toward a landfall probably tomorrow somewhere around the magnificent white sand beaches of Panama City, Florida. And the track now makes it look as though storm warnings have been issued on the other side of Florida and all the way as far north as South Carolina, because it looks like the storm's just going to sort of wander across Florida and get busy again, which means that places just now maybe beginning to get out on, out from under the toxic surge of Florence may get re-swamped by Michael. I know. Ron and Raleigh says, now, wait a minute. Wasn't the mandate of the EPA that the agency was to be deferred to in scientific matters? Well, not anymore. Who we defer to in scientific matters is, you know, say, the chief financial officer, accountant of the great big giant polluting chemical corporation of America. That's who gets the final word on whether or not children get poisoned in this country. If it's good for the great big poisonous chemical corporation of America to poison children, then the Supreme Court will defer to the vast vast influence, if not knowledge, of the great big poisonous chemical corporation of America. Because freedom. Lovely, ain't it? Meanwhile, the Trump regime is still not saying much about the IPCC report. I'm sure they would prefer that it just went the hell away. But it isn't. And it remains real. On the other hand, as Florida prepares to be to have the bejesus slammed out of it by Hurricane Michael, 35, 36 counties have been pre-declared disaster areas. Everything from Cedar Key to Pensacola is at risk. Yes, Travis McGee's still in Cedar Key, according to that Jimmy Buffett song. So as and to their credit, various politicians have suspended their campaigns in Florida to deal with the realities on the ground. Rick Skeletor Scott has suspended his campaign because he's the governor. In order to deal with the oncoming hurricane. Andrew Gillum, mayor of Tallahassee, running for governor, has suspended his campaign as Tallahassee faces significant risk of harm from the storm. But you know who hasn't quit campaigning? That's right, Julius Geezer. made a comment yesterday, I believe it was, in which he said, there's tremendous corruption, tremendous crime in Tallahassee. That was an effort to dig at Andrew Gillum. Because, of course, even though Ron up Monkey DeSantis broke with Trump in one regard, he's still very much the maggot and Trumpansy he has always been. So Trump is behind Ron up Monkey DeSantis. But Andrew Gillum was having none of it. He tweeted back, hey, Donald Trump, don't come to my state and talk trash about my city while we're preparing for a Category 3 hurricane. We need a partner right now, not a partisan. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, it classy, ain't it? Rick Scott, on the other hand, has declared that that Michael is a life-threatening and extremely dangerous storm. Mandatory evacuations are in place. And, hey, this is October. This should be the ass end of the hurricane season, but somehow or another it's not. There are at least two more storms cooking out in the Atlantic. One of them seems to be fairly north in the Sargasso Sea area, but and may come to nothing. But the other one's still hovering around off the and moving westward from the African coast. And may turn into something. Michael just blew right up from the Yucatan past the western tip of Cuba, and it's like it's got a laser beam sight on the Florida coast. Of course, the other thing that has to be taken into account, and at least one lawsuit has been filed. This runs the risk of screwing with the election, the upcoming November election, in a big way. And among other things, a lawsuit has been filed that asks the court to extend the voter registration deadline to October 16th because, well, you can't very well go out and register to vote if you're busy trying to protect your home from being blown out to sea. The Florida Democrats filed for an emergency injunction requiring voter registration to be extended to October 16th. Of course, the Republicans don't want that. Anything that makes voting easier and not harder is nothing that Republicans want anything to do with. One wonders what this will do to turnout on November the 6th. Not really any way of knowing at this point. Oh, by the way, the Trump administration, even though the U.S. government was involved in the IPCC report, is trying to downplay it. Instead, talking about the 14% reduction in carbon emissions the United States has already achieved. Department of Energy Press Secretary Shailen Hinds has said, while others have been focused on reports and symbolic agreements, the Trump administration has been focused on all of the above energy policies that produced positive results for the environment. From the development of new clean coal and renewable technologies at our national labs to advocacy for zero emission nuclear and American LNG, the Department of Energy is keenly focused on developing this country's abundant resources in a cleaner way. Cleaner.
not clean. So they're still trotting out the tired old advertising slogan, clean coal, because that's all it is an advertising slogan. It's not an actual scientific reality. Coal can never be clean because coal can never be mined without blood and without death and without misery and without agony and disease. It can't be. The Sierra Club put out a statement on the IPCC report. The club said, whenever Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets around to holding another press briefing, it's time she answered for the Trump administration's silence on the IPCC report that indicates that catastrophic effects of the climate crisis could occur within the lifetime of much of the world's population. Yesterday, Trump administration officials refused to comment on the startling report, claiming it's a Kavanaugh night. Well, I think that in itself is a statement, isn't it? Yeah. Among other things, the top 50 newspapers in the United States had no feature information about the IPCC report, according to Media Matters for America. You may recall last night we had the I discussed the opinion piece in the Washington Post that said it should be treated as you know, something that you scream from the rooftops every day. Well, no. At least not if these 50 papers are to be believed. Let's see, between 9 a.m., according to Media Matters, between 9 a.m. and noon Eastern Daylight Time on October 8th, Media Matters analyzed the homepage of the top 50 U.S. newspapers as ranked by average Sunday circulation. 28 of the pages did not mention the report on their homepages at all. Gosh, let's see what those papers might be. The Arizona Republic, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Baltimore Sun, the Buffalo News, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, Cincinnati Inquirer, Columbus Dispatch, Louisville Courier-Journal, Dallas Morning News, Denver Post, El Nuevo Dia in Puerto Rico, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Houston Chronicle, New York Daily News, Newsday, New York and Long Island, the Oklahoman of Oklahoma City, the Orange County Register, the Oregonian, the Orlando Sentinel, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, San Antonio Express News, San Diego Union-Tribune, the Star-Ledger of New Jersey, the Tampa Bay Times, and the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Interesting that Media Matters points out that in that list there are 10 cities that are among the 25 cities most affected by climate change. Let's see. Nothing on the homepage of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, even though it's the third most at-risk city for climate change. No mention of the IPCC report on the homepage of the Miami Herald. But at least the Miami Herald had a link to a report on how climate change affects real estate prices. Yeah, I would imagine real estate prices wouldn't be real great for underwater real estate. There were homepage links at the New York Times, at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, at the Sacramento Bee, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Seattle Times, Minneapolis Star Tribune, the Florida Sun Sentinel, USA Today, the Virginian Pilot, oddly enough, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, Boston Globe, Detroit Free Press, Hartford Courant, the Honolulu Star Advertiser, the Indianapolis Star, the Kansas City Star, the Los Angeles Times, the San Jose Mercury News, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, New York Post.
Yeah.
This is not... this is not inspiring. No. Eat, drink, and be merry, y'all. That, you know, it'd just scare the rubes anyway, right? Sure. So while the Trump regime tries to ignore reality, reality is not ignoring us. But tucked away in the report, not really tucked, included in the report is something rather important. I mean, the whole thing's important. What am I talking about? But it's worth paying attention to the fact that one of the talking points. One of the talking lies, one of the lying points that white-wing Republicans rely upon most often it gets taken out back and buried. For the longest time, we've talked, the scientists have, since longest time, 5 years. Since 2013, scientists have reached the conclusion that humans are responsible, you know, anthropogenic climate change. Humans are responsible for all of the warming that the planet has endured since 1950. 68 years. Even the United States has approved that language, but in this new report, it gets worse. Climate change endured by the planet is anthropogenic with regard to every degree of increased warmth here, all the way back to 1850. 168 years. Why 1850? Because that's roughly when we begin burning coal on a broad scale all around the planet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of important because, among other people, noted grifter Scott Pruitt, formerly the head of the EPA, he tried to say that there's no way to determine that human beings have caused all the warming. Yes, there is. And Rick Smart Perry Glasses, Rick Smart Glasses Perry, oh, whatever, pick one. He said something similar a couple of months after Pruitt did. He said, to stand up and say that 100% of global warming is because of human activity, I think on its face, is just indefensible. Except that it's not indefensible, it's completely defensible, and completely real. So just remember, the next time you hear some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, white-winger say, well, maybe the planets are getting warmer, but I don't know as how we can say the human beings done did it because God is in charge, you can tell them to shut the fuck up. Because there is not even, there's not even scientific disagreement on this anymore. Human beings are responsible via the burning of hydrocarbons for every bit of the warming the planet has endured since 1850. Period. End of debate. End of discussion. Okay. And the question, you know, the question continues. What are we going to do about it? I mean, one of the interesting things that I ran across is that, and we stream a lot of stuff. I mean, this program streams on the internet, right? Streaming video on the internet is now the largest single traffic item in the world. Watching YouTube, watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, what have you. Well, the energy consumption that requires is roughly equal to the energy consumption of every airplane flying anywhere on the planet today. The total energy consumption of all the airlines is equaled by the energy consumed by streaming video. That's sobering. That's why it matters. When, for instance, I don't know how many of you watch the Apple keynote for the new phone, when they announce that their manufacturing processes and their data centers are all powered by renewable energy, that matters. That matters a lot. Apple is working pretty hard. This is not an ad for Apple. It just isn't. But Apple is making strides in that direction. Some other companies are as well. And those are the sorts of things that have to be done if we're going to continue to have these futuristic communications processes. It's part of the reason that I keep thinking that one of these days, and you probably, I'm as sick of talking about it as you are hearing about it, but one of these days, we got to have a crowdfunding campaign here to get the horn off the grid. It seems like the responsible thing to do. But that's part of the larger question of, you know, what are we going to do about this? We need a Marshall Plan for renewable energy. There is no excuse for any roof in the United States not to have solar panels on it. Literally every roof in the United States should have solar panels on it, feeding into a decentralized grid. Oh, but you could... You know that ain't going to happen, right? And you know why. A couple hours ago, the Associated Press reported, Dateline Helena, Montana, that Westmoreland Coal of Eaglewood, Colorado, filed for voluntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection today. They had reached what they call a restructuring agreement with a group of lenders. They claimed the corporate leadership of Westmoreland said, after months of thoughtful and productive conversations with our creditors, we have developed a plan that allows Westmoreland to operate as usual while positioning Westmoreland for long-term success. That's CEO Michael Hutchinson, who doesn't give a rat's ass about whether this planet can support human life, because he's probably got some sort of luxury doomsday bunker or something. But demand for coal, or at least demand for coal from the United States, has fallen off. It's a lot cheaper, I presume, to ship coal from, say, Australia to China than it is from, say, the United States to China. But the declining demand for coal and the massive amount of debt that Westmoreland had caused them in August to warn investors
that there's substantial there's substantial doubt about our ability to pay our obligations as they come due. That's what they told the Securities and Exchange Commission. At the time, they had $770 million in assets, but $1.4 billion in debt. They owe $1.8 million alone to the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs. Those are royalties on Indian lands. How about that? It'll probably screw the Native Americans. Westmoreland mines coal in Montana, Wyoming, New Mexico, Ohio, North Dakota, and Texas. They own a coal-fired power plant in North Carolina. Hell, it's probably got a little coal ash pond there that might have gotten overtopped by Hurricane Florence. Who knows? So you can imagine who would be screaming the loudest if we came up with a... if we came up with a plan to put solar panels on every roof in the United States. And maybe some great big-ass solar farms in some middle-of-nowhere desert areas. Our buddy Mike in Cascadia writes, global warming and Brett Kavanaugh. GOP logic, Dr. Ford was attacked, but not by Brett, the fence Kavanaugh. The earth is warming, but not due to humans. Damn, the party of personal responsibility. They are consistent. They are, Mike. They are. And I won't dare speak for Mike, but I'd damn sight rather see a whole bunch of... I'd rather see some solar farms and wind turbine farms and maybe some solar furnaces in Utah than to see that magnificent landscape blown all to hell for coal. This is, you know, this is the problem that we face. And as I said, we need a Marshall Plan. We need to understand that it's not just, you know, kill the biosphere to own the libs. No, it'll kill Republicans too. It'll kill maggots. With every bit of the alacrity that it kills the libs. But they don't care. Clarence with a note, crime and corruption. Bob, the GOP has a knack with projection. If Trump mentions it, he's guilty of it. The level of BS is mind-boggling. Oh, yeah. And whenever he complains about something, you can bet that it's something he's done. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, the Keebler elf goes to Chi-Town. Every damn day, the shit heel in chief is sending the AG, a man that loves the Negro with all his heart, to Chicago to get the law enforcement in that city to... I'm sorry, I got that on. Yeah, every damn day. And then, yeah, the shit heel in chief, literally a shit heel, you know, with the toilet paper stuck to his... It's kind of like the universe tells us that we're on the right track. I was calling Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz a booger eater long before he larped that big old boog right there on live television. And we've referred to Donald J. Trump as a shitheel well before he walked around with shit on his heel. But the shit heel in chief is sending the AG, a man that loves the Negro with all his heart, to Chicago to get the law enforcement officials in that city to institute stop and frisk, which has been declared unconstitutional. That doesn't matter to King Trump the First. Constitutions? We don't need no stinking constitution. We have the will of Trump. Lee in New York, Subject line, Rick Perry. Magoo spectacled? Well, yes. Yes. But Brother Deacon Asa says, me being the hopeless originalist, I'm more partial to Rick Head Ranch Perry. Yeah. Rick Perry of Head Ranch. Yeah. Robert in Australia. Subject line, cheap coal from Australia. It's only cheap because the federal and Queensland governments have fallen all over themselves to pay for the infrastructure foreign mining companies need using taxpayer dollars. Well, that's what wingnut welfare is for. Yeah. But something has to break. Something has to change. Or, I mean, yeah, I get what was said, and Robert pointed it out last night. It's not that long between now and 2030, 12 years. So we're probably not going to see any dramatic changes. It's not like the aliens are going to land and holler Klaatu Barada Nikto, and we're all going to be flying around in helium-filled pants. Thank you, Reverbo. And in fact, the changes will be probably small and incremental, and then one day we'll all look up and go, hey, what the fuck? Where is everything? And I think if you pay attention, you can see a little bit of it today. Just things that used to be available all the time in your store that aren't anymore. Or that come in only intermittently. It's worth paying attention to. Oh, by the way, you might find this interesting, or at least insane. Get the hockey puck. In the wake of the confirmation of Brat Kavanaugh, at whom no one screamed rapist today. As I mentioned last night, they had beers for Brett parties. One good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, white-wing Christian in Parkersburg, West Virginia, commented, "Ladies, get your coat hangers ready." Don't you just love the grace of the grace and aplomb displayed by the followers of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace? Don't you just love that? Aren't they wonderful? Better get your coat hangers ready. That was how he was celebrating the confirmation of Brat Kavanaugh. But then there's Kat Kerr. She considers herself to be a prophet or a prophetess. And among other things, she's also, well, she calls herself a weather warrior. You may recall her from the advent of, or from the approach of Hurricane Florence, when she was commanding them millibars to rise. Yeah.
Florence, right now, we're speaking to Florence. It's already out there, okay? They've already named it as a hurricane. So we're going to take authority over Florence, and we say, you will become nothing. You will not do destruction. And I can't answer that right now, but I might later. You will not do destruction to land or to people. or property, and we command the millibars to rise, rise, rise in Florence. You rise, millibars. You dissipate that storm. You get it downgraded, downgraded, downgraded. And we thank you, host of heaven. We send you into the midst of that storm right now, because we took power over all the power of the enemy, driving it, sending it.
Yeah, that cat Kerr. Remember her? She, it didn't work out so well for the millibars, I guess. But it didn't slow her down, so she wandered on over to the River Rock Church in Reno, Nevada, and she had a revelation about a vision she'd done had.
This is a time of justice, liberty, and freedom. And that's what he stood for. That's what Kavanaugh stood for. And so they found someone to pay them to lie, with not one shred of evidence. No evidence. Even his own children did not believe the lies about him. They lived with him. They knew his character. They knew that he loved God. And God picked him like he picked Trump. And he kept telling me, I don't care what they say. He is sitting on the Supreme Court. He's going to wipe out Roe versus Wade. He's going to give life to babies. And when I'm sitting there today in the hotel room, he kept showing me, letting me see all these millions of babies who have been aborted in heaven, that are in heaven. They sang and celebrated.
That's right. The little aborted babies in heaven sang and celebrated, even though most of the little aborted babies in heaven don't have mouths or arms or legs or much of anything in the way of a brain to celebrate anything with. I don't know what it looks like when a lump of cells decides to get its party groove on. But yes, millions of aborted babies. She had a vision. She heard voices. No one gave her medication. And Brett Kavanaugh occasioned a big old fetus party in heaven. You gotta figure, well, I don't know. How much space would a million clusters of cells take up in heaven? And how much noise, I mean, assuming they could actually sing and celebrate and celebrate good times. Stop it, Bob. Did she view it under a fucking microscope?
As they were saying, yes, he was going to sit on the Supreme Court. This is what they knew. That life would change for all the babies in America. That no longer would it be legal to take their lives and wipe them away like dust, like they had been. And they have forgiven all those people. There's no anger in their little souls. They're free. They forgive everybody. The people who performed it, the people who allowed it, the people who voted for that to be legal. They forgave every person, but today they had a party in heaven. And they celebrated the other babies being conceived in the womb. One day will never have to fear their lives being taken. And they'll get to complete their destiny on this.
Of course, a fetus can't fear anything. Because a wad of tissue can't think. Oh, great jumping Jehoshaphat. Fetus party. That probably needs to be a band name. Fetus party. Wow. Steve in New York says, okay, I'm confused. Don't worry about it. Most of us are, Steve. It gets confusing. So this evangelical is all keen on the papists now? So they paid Dr. Blasey for it? I thought it was the word lodestar from getting all hypnotized up. I'm sorry, but I'm so confused at all this. Please help me out. By the way, life ain't changing for any babies. These evangelicals will still take food out of babies' mouths and take them away from their parents and take away their health care and take away their housing. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because, of course, Kat Kerr doesn't care about babies once they're born. She probably starts caring again when they get old enough to subsidize her hustle. But let's go back for a little more. No sense in taking the hockey puck out just yet.
Sir, so there was a big party in heaven today because of that. And the father began to tell me, he said, yes, there is now God in the White House. Because he's welcomed and allowed to be there. And he said, and now I have permission to be in the Supreme Court because of Kavanaugh.
How about that? The all-powerful ruler, creator of the universe, knows all, sees all, but he has to be given permission to go into the Supreme Court. And he got it from a guy who raped a girl when she was 15. And drank so much beer, he barfed in a Porsche or something. That's who God looks to for permission. Yeah.
The believer being sit on that bench, sitting on the bench at the Supreme Court, he said, now I have the right to speak into the court system. Yeah. And he says, because of that, I have assigned 3 special ops angels.
Wait, special ops angels? Do they have machine guns?
See, I won't never just tell you something. You're going to get details. He has assigned 3 powerful angels, host of the host, and their names are Justice, Liberty, and Freedom. And they are assigned...
Sit, Liberty, sit. Woof.
...to protect and keep Kavanaugh and his family... And they're also assigned to help him bring justice, liberty, and freedom to this country.
I thought justice, liberty, and freedom were already here. I thought they were angels. I thought they swooped down. Oh, Jesus Christ. Funny thing is, Brett Kavanaugh is as likely to hurt these people as he is to help them. But they don't care. You're going to sit there and clap. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana asks, how she feel about the little living babies in cages? Well, they belong there because Jesus wants it. If Jesus didn't want little children to live in, to be put in cages, he wouldn't have allowed them to be put there. So therefore, QED, right? Laurel says, warning, dark ages ahead. What do you mean ahead? We're there. Lee in New York says, I thought God was omnipresent and omnipotent. If I recall, it's the devil that could not enter without being invited in. I wonder whom she's praying to. I know. But, you know, their God is a, well, it's a fetish. Their God is a fetish item to them. And they make, I mean, you know that line in the Bible about God is not mocked? You want to know who's mocking God? If God, you know, was real, these people are. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, really? This woman's mentally ill. Why can people say shit like this and not be dragged away in a jacket that fastens in the back and given lots of drugs and therapy. If this woman ain't crazy, no one is. Well, she is, Ron. But because, and there's that word fetish again, but because of the way we fetishize the First Amendment, she gets to be crazy like that, and she gets tax-free status to do it with. Whereas if she was just some woman out on a street corner, somebody might take her in, do a mental hygiene hearing, and then let her find out what pathetic shape our mental health system is in this country. Heavenly fetuses. Stop telling us how fetuses can't sing in heaven, Bob. Yeah, I know. Remember, parties in heaven have the beer flowing freely. No ice to throw at misbehaving little angels. No, you don't get beer in heavenly. Heavenly, hey, look at that. Do we have to go over this again? The only way you get beer in heaven is if you follow the Flying Spaghetti Monster, because Flying Spaghetti Monster Heaven has a beer volcano and a stripper factory. There's no beer in Christian heaven. It's just fucking wings and feathers and harps and halos for all eternity. It's deadly dull. Steve in New York. Oh, yeah, I remember the dancing. I remember the dancing baby. What was that for? From Ally McBeal, wasn't it? About a billion years ago? Yeah. Steve says, remember Ally McBeal in the 90s? Oddly enough, Steve, you and I are on the same wavelength. I was thinking of the Ally McBeal dancing baby with the dancing fetus party in heaven. Stupid. It burns as us. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, Randy says, what? No AR-15s in heaven? Aw, shucks. I guess at some point in time we're going to have to talk about the imminent departure of Nimrata Haley. How can we miss you if you won't go away? I think Scott referenced that in the call last night. But, yes, in what was described as a surprise announcement, Nimrata Haley said she's not going to be the UN ambassador anymore after December. How about that? And there was much speculation as to why. It turns out it looks like she's in about somewhere around $1 million. She's around $1 million in debt, and other individuals have pointed out that. She's pretty much been bypassed and sidetracked by Mike Pompeo and John Pornstash Bolton. Me, the first thing I thought of when she announced that she was resigning was the thing that should have caused her to resign months and months and months ago. I don't even remember when it happened. But when she took that phone call from the Moscow Morning 98.5 Zukru, who called her and said, is President of Poland wishing to be talking with Nikki Haley? We need to have serious conversation. And she took the call and got completely fished by the Morning Zoo crew from Moscow 98.5. It's terrible traffic this morning. It's terrible weather. It's Moscow. What do you want? Back to comedy. Let's call American UN ambassador and make fool of her.
This segment of program brought to you by Boris Borscht Company.
But they did. They made a complete fool of her, got her to acknowledge the existence of a fake island nation called Bonomo. And it was roundly ignored, I guess, because not a Democrat, because not a member of the... My God, it would have been 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on Fox if that had been, if a member of the Obama administration had been zoo crewed and admitted to the existence of a Bonomo. Oh well, she gone. Then there's Taylor Swift, who Donald Trump has decided he likes 25% less now that she said that she is terrified of the policies of Marsha Gwyneth Blackburn. Yeah, really. Astonishing. He can't stay away from these. Well, here.
She's in politics. Taylor Swift jumping into politics. What do you have to say to her?
And what did she say?
She said she wants people to vote for Democrats.
And not Marsha Blackburn, especially.
You know, well, Marsha Blackburn is doing a very good job in Tennessee. She's leading now substantially, which she should. She's a tremendous woman. I'm sure Taylor Swift has nothing or doesn't know anything about her. And let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
Thank you.
Our thoughts and prayers are...
Yeah.
About 25% less.
Okay, name one Taylor Swift song Chlamydia Claudius. One.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Marty pointing out Nimrata is also likely to become the junior senator from South Carolina after Lindsey becomes AG. I've seen that floated. But... Oh, by the way, thanks very kindly to thanks to Earther to get us for getting us going this evening. Thank you very kindly indeed. That takes us down to $340 to go in fundraising. We started out at $345. Now we are down to $340. Thank you, Earther, very, very kindly. Hopefully we can wipe out at least yesterday's. $140 wipes out yesterday and leaves us with today to deal with. Thank you, Earther. Thank you very kindly. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar says, I have a proposal. Since they hate abortion and they love for-profit prisons, I say imprison all men and boys for getting any women or girl pregnant. Takes two to make a baby. Rape her pregnant equals prison. Hook her pregnant, prison. Time for men to help. Carry the loaded. No, it's not fair for the women to be the one to carry this load since they had help. That's going to put a lot of people in the joint, Silent R. Lamar. Subject line respect. Ron and Raleigh says, Nikki and Trump both stated that she can safely leave now because even though they don't like us, they by God respect us. However, all the polls state that there has been a sharp decline in respect for the U.S. since Trump took the reins of the country. Well, you know, that goes back to something I was talking about last night. What happens when the rest of the world realizes that humanity's future hinges on bringing the United States to heel? A country that is loved has a better chance of long-term survival than a country that is hated. What did they say back during the Reign of Error? Count Dicula?
I don't care if they like us, as long as they fear us.
Wait, was that Count Dicula or Batman? But that really doesn't work out well in the long run. Because to be feared is also to be hated. And since yesterday was Columbus Day, and since, gosh, next year, will that be the 500th anniversary of the arrival of the Spanish in Mexico? Maybe? I don't know. I need to look that up. But when the Spanish arrived in Mexico, the nations that were vassal nations of the Triple Alliance specifically and particularly despised the Mexica, for whom Mexico is named, because they demanded tribute and they taxed their satellite vassal peoples accordingly. And Cortez could never have accomplished what he did in bringing down the single most one of the single most brilliant civilizations on the planet if he had not had the assistance of the enemies of the Mexica Nation, who were more than eager to add their thousands to the pit to the paltry handful of thieves and vandals that Cortez had brought with him to Mexico. Had the indigenous peoples of the Valley of Mexico behaved with solidarity, they could have slaughtered Cortez and his band of brigands in short order. But because the Mexica had adopted an attitude of, I don't care if they like us, I care if they fear us, well, all the people who had been busy fearing the Mexica said, hey, here's our chance. We're never going to have to put up with their shit again. They didn't realize at the time that they also were signing their own death warrants, and they didn't know anything about the smallpox epidemics and the flu epidemics and the measles epidemics and the common cold epidemics that would wipe out tens of millions of them. All they could see is that they had an opportunity to get rid of somebody that they despised. And they did so with real dispatch. And this nation, as a feared nation, well, there's not going to be much sympathy for us when it comes time that we have overstayed our welcome. And for that matter, we've got the wrong people fearing us. Why would we want the French and the Germans and the English and the Irish and the... Why would we want our allies to fear us? That's what this administration has been bent on doing. Why do we want the love and affection of murderous authoritarian, autocratic, dictatorial regimes? Why do we want the love of Vlad Putin or Duterte in the Philippines or Erdogan in Turkey? This does not bode well for us in the future. So anyway, it's 20 past the hour. And we should probably take a little break because it is, after all, Tuesday. And that means we have the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. They'll be gone this Thursday, but we've got them this evening. I had a heck of a good time talking. I always enjoy talking with Brad on his Bradcast yesterday. Check that podcast out if you want to. We talked a little bit about the whole Joe Manchin issue. But for the moment, let's take a break. Or I'll take a break. We'll go to the Green News Report. And maybe, just maybe, we'll knock out some more of that $140 to finish off yesterday and $200 to finish off this evening. That would be awfully helpful because there are lots and lots of bills to be paid that are awaiting payment right here, right now. Ah, thank you. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. The final Jeopardy answer. The year was 1519. Ding, ding. When did the Spanish invade Mexico? P.S. I hope they roll up the Israelis when they come for us. Don't forget the new thug in Brazil either. Oh, fascism. Fascism is enjoying a real resurgence in the world today. And where once upon a time we were the beloved nation that stepped in to help defeat fascism, now we are a purveyor of it. Anyway, if you want to help out, run over to headon.live, click the PayPal button, and maybe we'll take care of some of the get some of the bills paid. That would be freaking awesome. And in the meantime, if you want to engage in conversation, you're welcome to. The number, of course, area code 304-574-8178. Toll free, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, 304-640-2829 is another way to get in touch. And then, of course, there's Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Plenty more stuff to talk about, too. But it is, after all, conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's Tuesday, October 9, 2018.
The task is extremely urgent, and it's something that scientists all agree on.
The world's scientists issue an alarming report warning we are almost out of time to act on global warming. And speaking of which,
this storm will be life-threatening and extremely dangerous.
Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and the Carolinas brace for Hurricane Michael.
All of those bracing stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
To limit warming to 1.5 degrees C, we would need to start taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere during the 21st century.
Oh, I'm holding my breath that will happen. See what I did there?
Yes, we see what you did there.
This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, not easy to be snarky about this report from the UN. And even as it comes out, news of yet another destructive hurricane coming out of almost nowhere in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, as we go to air, Hurricane Michael in the Gulf of Mexico has quickly intensified into a major hurricane, as so many hurricanes now do these days. It's headed for Florida's Gulf Coast as a Category 3, possibly 4, giving residents very little time to prepare. Florida Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency for Florida's panhandle. Hurricane Michael will bring life-threatening storm surge to Florida, and heavy rains all the way into Georgia and even the Carolinas, which are still grappling with the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. And in another weird development in this extremely weird 2018 Atlantic hurricane season, for the second year in a row, a hurricane is menacing Ireland and Europe. According to Weather Channel meteorologist Marshall Shepard, a tropical storm in the far North Atlantic is, quote, not normal, folks.
Yeah, but you know what has become normal? The idea that there's a whole group of people, specifically in this country, specifically on the right, who continue to deny that what is going on is unprecedented, is dangerous, and yes, is caused by man. This continues to be disturbing, even though it continues to be these right-wing southern states that seem to be bearing the brunt of the damage here.
And speaking of bearing the brunt, our big story today, the world has 12 years to get man-made climate change under control. That's according to an international team of scientists on the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC. The IPCC's chilling new climate science report, released on Monday, finds that the severe impacts of climate change that were once expected several decades into the future will begin to hit within 20 years, by 2040, just 22 years from now, and at a much lower temperature increase of just 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial times. Humans have already warmed the planet 1 degree Celsius, and we're already seeing the consequences in extreme weather and rising sea levels.
I recall during the negotiations over the Paris Climate Agreement, there was a lot of talk about the idea that keeping warming to no higher than 2 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times was not going to be enough, that we had to target 1.5 degrees. And now the UN scientists seem to be yelling and screaming that exact same thing.
Yes, this report specifically compares the differences in impacts that we're likely to see if we take aggressive action now to avoid overshooting that 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature target versus the higher target of 2 degrees Celsius in the Paris Climate Agreement. They say the longer we wait, the more limited our options will be. On current trends, we are likely to sail past that 1.5 degrees Celsius mark by 2030. That's within the next 12 years.
Donald Trump could still be president.
At a press conference on Monday, IPCC scientist Ho Sung Lee was blunt.
Limiting warming to 1.5 degrees is not impossible, but will require unprecedented transitions in all aspects of society. Every bit of warming matters.
We will still see an increase in the intensity and frequency of drought, floods, forest fires, and extreme heat waves, along with sea level rise, crop failures, and water shortages. But the scientists say if we take those steps to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees, those impacts won't be nearly as bad, with huge benefits for humanity, food security, water security, and species and ecosystems that we rely on all around the world. They also found that the cost of making the transition is far, far cheaper than the cost of the impacts that we face. It's a monumental task, they say, but major efforts are already underway in most countries to reduce carbon emissions and transition away from fossil fuels, according to IPCC scientist James Skee.
But this progress needs to be picked up in other areas such as transport or land management.
Half of our energy by 2050 would have to come from renewable sources. We'd have to plant millions of trees to remove carbon from the air and do more. But the upshot is that we can do this. We have the tools, but we must move faster. The scientists say that requires the political will to take action in all countries.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We are at the halfway point of the program this evening, and lots of different directions to go in. But I thought I would share a little something with you that you might enjoy as much as I did. A little song about, let's send out a long-distance dedication to Brat Kavanaugh, shall we?
Walk to my car later. late at night while on the phone. I can't open up my windows when I'm home alone. I can't go to the bar without a chaperone. I can't wear a mini skirt if it's the only one I own. I can't use public transportation after 7 p.m. I can't be brutally honest when you slide into my DMs. I can't go to the club just to dance with my friends. And I can't ever leave my drink unattended. But it sure is scary time for boys. Yeah, gentlemen, band together, make some noise. It's really tough when your reputation's on the line. And any woman you've assaulted could turn up anytime. Yeah, it sure. Just being nice, so inconvenient that you even have to think twice. I can't live in an apartment if it's on the first floor. I can't be wearing silk pajamas when I answer the door. I can't have another drink, even if I want more. And I can't make you feel invalid, unseen, or ignored. I can't jog around the city with headphones on my ears. I can't speak out against my rapist after 35 years. I can't be taken seriously if I'm holding back tears. And I can't ever speak earnestly about all these fears. Cause it sure is scary time for dudes. Can't text a girl repeatedly asking for nudes. Can't make a girl have sex when she's not in the mood. And what gives her the right to give you attitude? She's not so innocent. Thank God your dad's the judge and you won't be convicted.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Cause it's not such a scary time for boys. They've always had the upper hand. They've always had a choice. It's time for women to rise up. Use our collective voice. The day to vote's November 6th. So let's go make some noise. Go vote.
Isn't that just awesome? And I wish I could... wish I could tell you who that was. But it's brilliant. I found it, it comes from the folks over at Now This. Scary time for boys. So, if anybody does know what her name is, please let me know so that I can give her credit. But damn, that's powerful. Note coming in from Marty. No. I guess Nicole played that. Nicole Sandler played that as well. I don't know. But. Rand Paul has announced that he is afraid somebody's going to get killed. The story was the story comes from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and among other things, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, his wife gave an interview, and you know this really does tell you where they are. She gave an interview, Kelly Paul did, to that website that rhymes with light and fart this past Friday. And she talked about how she sleeps with a loaded gun by my bed, and she's got deadbolts all over her house. And among other things, she wrote an op-ed for CNN in which she called out Cory Booker for his tone. Rand and Kelly have decided to go on a little crusade against Cory Booker. He said, Rand Paul and that thing on his head said, when people like Cory Booker say get up in their face, what he doesn't realize is that for every 1,000 persons who want to get up in your face, one of them's going to be unstable enough to commit violence. Well, he's got a point. I remember when, what was his name, Atkinson, read a bunch of right-wing filth and then decided to go down and slaughter people in a church in Tennessee. Or the guy who, had he not had to get liquored up to get his courage going, would have shot up the Tides Foundation at the behest of Glenn Beck. Yeah. But the Fox News TV radio Rwanda people say that he was chased and verbally harassed by anti-Kavanaugh activists at Reagan National Airport. Poor baby. And then somehow or another, the people at the Ministry of Propaganda connect that to the shooting at the congressional baseball game practice, where Steve Scalise, noted water carrier for the National Ruble Association, got shot and learned nothing, by the way. He doesn't like... He wants to be able to do his evil business and be left alone about it. He doesn't, you know, personal responsibility is for the proles. Personal responsibility is for you. Personal responsibility is for me. Personal responsibility for their actions is not something that Republicans need to deal with, because they wouldn't be Republicans if they did. By the way, if you want to thank you for to the ad hoc Horn Research Department. Thank you to both Michael and Madison and Flavio. On Instagram, the young woman who did that song goes by Lindsay, L-Y-N-Z-Y, Lindsay Lab Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. She's at L-Y-N-Z-Y-L-A-B, at Lindsay Lab. And she's Lindsay Lab on YouTube, if you want to go and find the song and share it around and help it... help it get even more viral than it apparently already is. Thank you, Robert in Australia, also performing some research work. Yeah, scary time for boys. But Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, doesn't... doesn't want people bothering him with their pesky notions of democracy, or reminding him of the consequences of his vile and hateful acts and putting a credibly accused rapist on the credibly accused rapist on the Supreme Court and a second credibly accused sexual predator on the Supreme Court. That's just, well, it's so incivil. And there he goes again, proving that he doesn't know shit about law. You're presumed to be innocent. I just feel sorry for Kavanaugh and his wife and his children having to go through that. He wasn't charged with a crime. You're not presumed innocent in your confirmation hearing. You're supposed to defend the goddamn nomination. And by the way, if he's worried about assassinations, he might want to look at the people on his own side, because they're the ones with all the damn guns. Lots and lots and lots of guns. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the EPA earlier. When Scott Pruitt decided to quit trying to loot the federal coffers and had to shuffle off back home at our expense, I'm sure, to Oklahoma Stan, His job was filled by an acting administrator of the EPA, and that guy is a coal lobbyist by the name of Andrew Wheeler. Andrew Wheeler, of course, like I said, a coal lobbyist, a guy who wants to continue roasting the biosphere. But now it gets worse. Turns out that Andrew Wheeler has a taste for, Nazis. Among other things, he has on social media gone and put a like on disgusting image of Barack Obama and Michelle. And he also retweeted one of the leading conspiracy theorists from Pizzagate. Huffington Post broke the story. And today he emailed them and said he didn't recall liking the image of the Obamas. And he clicked on tweets from conspiracy theorists without reviewing the source. Over the years, I've been a prolific social media user and liked and inadvertently liked countless social media posts. Specifically, I do not remember the post depicting President Obama and the First Lady. As for some of the other posts, I agree with the content, was unaware of the sources. He got outed by American Bridge 21st Century. That's a pack that started going over his social media pages. The picture of the Obamas that he liked was a photograph of Barack and Michelle with a hand holding up, oh, for fuck's sake, a banana. Because racism, you know, because... Mm-hmm. Came from a page called Mia Mama e Virgine. That's Italian for My Mom is a Virgin. They post memes and videos there. He's commented that Hillary Clinton was part of the apocalypse of the Bible and, you know, a demon. He said, I think she's mentioned in the book of Revelations right after the four horsemen. And then along comes Jack Prosobiec, the Pizzagate shithead. He shared a video that links to a CNBC video. An interview of Bill Murray talking about how hard it is for comics to deal with the polarizing politics. And then he's got a habit he likes stuff by noted convicted felon or convicted criminal, I should say, Dinesh D'Souza. He liked one of his attacks on Dr. Ford. He's liked a tweet from InfoWars about discrimination against the poor little bedraggled conservatives. Heidi Beirich, director of the Intelligence Project at the Southern Poverty Law Center, said, "This is despicable. The people he's interacting with and retweeting are just not folks a legitimate person should have anything to do with." And she noted that the picture of the Obamas was blatantly racist. Among other things, he's defended right-wing hate monger Milo Yiannopoulos. Yeah. He's not going to resign. Hell, he might get a raise. Jesus. By the way, the Independent of London reporting that Julius Geezer has declared, and thank you, Flavio, for sending this along, that there's no one more competent than Ivanka for UN, UN ambassador. He had previously said that if he'd love to appoint her, but if he appointed her, I'd be accused of nepotism. That's not what we're worried about with you and Ivanka there, dipshit. Yeah. So, what else? Oh, I know. I got some more audio for you. There was apparently a little fender bender and in the aftermath of the fender bender as the person who's apparently the person whose fault it was came over to apologize, well, the maggot in the car, she was I'm guessing she was suffering some pretty severe economic anxiety.
Sorry. Yeah. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Just
no, down. Fuck you. If I had a gun, I would shoot you dead. Give me your goddamn phone. Give me your phone.
Ma'am.
Give me your goddamn phone.
Ma'am.
Give me your goddamn. I'm going to goddamn kill your kids and your mother. I've got people that'll do what you want. You motherfucking son of a bitch. It's Alaska.
Ma'am, calm down.
No.
Calm.
You fucking calm down. I'm learning how to goddamn drive.
I'm sorry, I did not see you.
Fucking Muslim.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get out of here.
Just calm down, ma'am. Ma'am, please relax. It's not
necessary. Relax?
Relax, I'm sorry. I did not see you. Just relax.
Well, you better open up your goddamn eyes and learn how to drive, you fucking Muslim. You are a Muslim, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, proud.
I goddamn knew it. Goddamn son of a nigger-loving atheist bitch. Get
I feel sorry
of me.
For you that you're full of hatred. Why are you
I'm
so
full of hatred for people that are too goddamn stupid to know how to drive.
Ma'am, it was an accident. It was an accident.
Get out there and let them run over you. Get out. Get out on the road and let them run
ma'am,
over
Ma'am, God bless you. I'm sorry?
What's your mama tomorrow morning, son of a bitch?
My mom passed away.
Father?
My family
your
passed
sister.
Away.
Right. That's what the mosque is. Get off of me.
I'm not on you. I'm just trying to calm you down.
Me. I can't start my car. Would you get the fuck off away from me?
Just relax, please. Take a minute. Just take a minute. Don't be so full of hatred. Just please calm down. Relax.
You goddamn tell me. You almost fucking kill me,
what is my bastard.
You stupid ass bastard.
Ma'am.
I'm gonna goddamn kill you.
Ma'am.
I'm gonna goddamn kill you.
Are you crazy?
You fucking watch me.
Have you lost your mind?
I'm gonna run over your
economic anxiety rears its ugly head once again. That's a calm Muslim and a not quite as calm, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian white American lady. Isn't that special? Yeah. Because, well, there's, it seems like there's one of these most all the time. Most any given day. Let's go over to, Georgia, shall we? A man in Georgia by the name of Corey Lewis was babysitting a pair of children. I guess at the beginning of this story, we should note that Corey Lewis is an African-American man. The two children he was babysitting were white. And according to CBS 46 News, a woman approached him. This is in the Atlanta area. This is in Cobb County. He was in the parking lot of a Walmart when a white woman walked up to him and said, "Are the children all right?" He said, "Yeah." Then she came back and wanted to know if she could talk to them. He said, "No." And that's when she called the police on him for babysitting while black. She, the white lady, continued to stalk him. He said, "We left to go get gas. She moved closer and waited there. Then she followed him all the way home. Then a Cobb County cop shows up. The cop questioned the 10-year-old and the 6-year-old. Then the cop called their parents. The parents said to the cop, I said, are you saying that because there's an African-American male driving my two white kids that he was stopped and pulled over and questioned? And he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm saying. Weeks ago, the couple had made arrangements for the young man to do the, for Corey Lewis to do the babysitting. He runs a youth mentor program called Inspired by Lewis. David Parker, the father of the children, said, I guess this falls under BWB. I guess that's a new thing, babysitting while black. CBS 46, meanwhile, is still trying to find out who babysitting Becky was. Is. Let's check in with a little bit of the audio that Mr. Lewis recorded, shall we?
I'm babysitting, right? Y'all see, look, I got two kids in the backseat with me. I'm babysitting. There's this lady across the street. We just came from Subway and Walmart. This lady over here, she's following me. This lady is following me because I got two kids in the back seat that does not look like me. This lady across the street, she asked to see the little girl that I'm with so she can ask her if she knows who I am. Y'all, I see this lady is not moving. All because I got, look at this now. All because I got two kids in the backseat that do not look like me. This lady has took it upon herself to say that she's gonna take my plate down and call the police. It's crazy. Like she don't even know, like, it's 2018, and this is what I got to deal with. I can't go out with two kids that do not look like me and without something being weird. You see the lady is still not moving. She is harassing me because I have two kids that do not look like me. But it's good, though. So we inspired by Lewis, baby! All right, I gotta go.
Merca. Hail yeah. Speaking of the previous lady doing the screaming, Steve from Georgistan says, subject line, economic anxiety. She probably should have passed on that last hit off the crack pipe. No, I'm thinking she was drinking, bourbon through a straw, maybe. Or maybe some organic, organic cucumber vodka or something like that. Phew! Yeah, I know. By the way, 5 minutes before the hour, we're still at 340 to go for fundraising. That would make prayer meeting Wednesday. Deacon's going to be real sweaty tomorrow. Ooh, sweaty deacons. Because if we don't knock some of this down, we'll be at 540, and that'll really bite. Maybe it'll come down in the next hour or so. That'd be awfully nice. Hey, Tracy.
You know.
Did I conjure you?
You conjured me because, see, something like that happened to me when Alex was a baby. I don't know if I ever told you guys this story, but when Alex was a baby, I nursed him, you know, because that's what women do. We nurse our children.
That's the way the biology generally works, yes.
Right. So Alex was probably, you know, 7, 8 months old. But when Alex was born, he's caramel colored now. Well, a little darker than caramel. But now, when he was born, he was white. I mean, as a matter of fact, when I gave birth, my mom was my birthing coach, and she looked at him and said, put him back in. He's not done yet.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was my mom. So he was very, very, very light-skinned when he was a baby.
Pale,
so
pale even.
Pale, like, you know, down there, albino. So I was at the ladies' lounge when they still had, you know, really nice department stores, in the ladies' lounge at Nordstrom, and I was nursing him. And this old white woman looks at me. Now, the child is attached to my breast, Bob.
I'm not laughing. I am, but with you, not at you.
Laughing.
With you, okay. Laughing with you.
And she looks at me. She looks at Alex, and she says, whose baby is that? Now, remember, Bob, I'm in California.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1988, okay? And there's no really, I mean, not that there's no such thing as wet nurses, but the chances of me being a wet nurse, not so much. Okay, but me being me, and before I realized what I was doing, I put on my best Butterfly McQueen.
Oh, no. No.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, back then there wasn't thing as air boob and boob or anything, was there? I mean,
No. This is 88, you know, so, you know, you couldn't, there was no such thing as a gig economy, and you can rinse your breast out. You know, but this is what I said. I said, well, see,
would that be would that be Rent-A-Rack?
Yes, Rent-A-Rack. Okay, so I put on my best Butterfly McQueen with a smithering of Hattie McDaniel, and I said, well, ass is the wetness. See, I have, you know, me, I have about 5 children. And I really couldn't afford to have, you know, to feed all my children. And see, his mammy is white, and she didn't want to mess up her perfect breastises. But she wanted a good wholesome, you know,
you
breast
did
milk.
Not. You did not.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
So she hired me. so I could feed her child because, you know, she just didn't want to mess up her perfect breasts. And mine's going to be saggy anyway. So that's what I do. I hire out my breasts to feed white women's children.
That must have been, well, obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, you've remembered it all these years. That must have been a special moment.
It was a special moment. It was a special moment. And she just looked at me like, and the sad part is, I think she believed me, Bob.
Probably, yes. I'd say.
She's, because I don't know if she was from the South or anything like that, but she was old. And this was 88, so she was probably in her 60s. So it would not be far-fetched for her to imagine a black woman being a wet nurse for a white child. You know,
because
I figure.
To be fair, it does happen to white folks too. I mean, one of the things that used to drive Agnes right around the bend,
white folks,
was when, you know, there was a time when we would have like, say, a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old toddler, and then Ferg and Doodle in the 2-holer stroller, and they were close enough in age that many people mistook them for twins. And inevitably, somebody would walk up to Agnes and say, "Are they all yours? Are they all yours?" And there were a couple of occasions when the Viking warrior Pharaoh princess didn't handle it real well.
No, I can't even imagine.
No, they're not all mine. I just pick them up as I go along. And then of course, there's the great Kroger Thanksgiving story where the two little Hellcats, the youngest ones, screamed at her on the way out of Kroger's, "Let go of us, you mean lady. You're not our real mother."
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. And by the time she got him into the car, the cops showed up, old cop and a young cop. And the old cop, "Ma'am, are these..." The young cop's like, "Ma'am, are these your children?" And at this point in time, she's just not happy at all. And she just sticks her wrists out the window and says, no, really, cuff me, take me. I want to go. Three hots and a cot. Let's go. And the old cop and the young cop's like, "Eh, ma'am, we don't need an attitude from you." And the old cop's like, "They're her kids. They're definitely her kids. She just proved they're her kids." So, yeah, are they all yours? Or the day that the real live, no kidding, this is not a joke, Nazi circuit judge here looked at our children who were they're all blue-eyed and blonde-haired at the time, okay? And he looked at him and said, "What beautiful blue eyes and white skin they have."
No.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was listening. I didn't hear the whole thing with the young man who got harassed because he had two white kids. And that used to be the running joke with me. He had a girlfriend. She was half white and half Peruvian, right?
All right.
So I'm like, "Oh, my God, if you two have children, I am going to have a note to make sure people do mistake me for the nanny, or in my case, the mammy, or a kidnapper. Because nobody's going to believe that these are my grandbabies." And this is before Trump. So, you know, come on. That's why I told Alex that he has to marry a dark-skinned woman. I can't go through that.
Laying down the law, are you Tracy?
I can't go through it. I'm like, "Son, you got to marry a dark-skinned woman because I can't handle it. I just can't." And he just looked at me. I'm like, "I'm just kidding." Not
yeah, but right. Kidnapper granny.
because it's bound to happen. I mean, like I said, if I get looks, I used to get looks with him. When he was younger, and what would piss me off the most about the whole situation when people would look at him and look at me and automatically assume that he was not my child is he looks exactly like me. Bit the child.
Yeah, just a different exactly like you, just a two or three shades lighter on the paint chip palette.
Yes. But everybody's so caught up in his skin color, they're like, you know, and I'm like, he's my child. I birthed him. Okay?
Well, apparently it's a thing because Ron in Raleigh just wrote in, Tracy, and Ron says, being black is no picnic. I used to babysit my mechanic's kids. They're white. You can get some really strange looks. Black women, of course, often wet-nursed white kids back in the day. There's no such thing as white privilege. Ha. That's said sarcastically.
Right, exactly.
You know, and you know, that's true, and that's it. We should probably ponder that for a moment. White women did have black women wet-nurse their children.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the racism, were they never worried that there would be some, like, blackness in the milk?
That's what blows me, or just like the racism of black women taking care of their kids, or black people preparing your food. I mean, you know, you're so worried about black people touching shit, you know, you can't even, you don't even want us anywhere near you, but it's okay for us to cook your food. All right.
Yeah. Well, no one's ever going to accuse racism of being a logic-based phenomenon.
Right.
Because it isn't.
It isn't. I get tongue-tied at times because I'm.
Well, I mean that's like fender, you know, fender bender Fanny there screaming. If I had a gun, I'd kill you now. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to find you. I got people that can do that. Whoa.
Over a fender bender.
Yeah.
My God. What if she had really been hurt?
I
beg to differ. I don't. You said bourbon. Who said it was crack?
Let's see. Oh, that was Steve from Georgistan. She probably should have passed on last hit off the pipe.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pull the race card here. I'm sorry. That was all. I'm sorry. That was crystal meth on that one.
Yeah, I was guessing she. She's crystal Methodist. Absolutely.
Yeah. No. I mean, crack is a different kind of crazy. I was telling my girlfriend, one of my friends, about crack. I never knew until I had a white boyfriend that white people even fucked with crack cocaine. I'm like, damn, white people don't let us have nothing.
Do you remember the Richard Pryor bit with Leon Spinks?
Mm-mm.
Where he said, it was out of the news. He said, Leon Spinks got busted with 50 cents worth of cocaine. 50 cent, you ever seen 50 cents worth of cocaine? 50 cent worth of cocaine melt before you get the paper open. maybe go to YouTube and search Richard Pryor, Leon Spinks.
Oh, I got some food porn what I'm making for dinner tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Seared steak with spicy garlic miso butter and same skillet asparagus.
Whoa, get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a cut?
Ribeye.
Ooh. Oh, you know how to hurt a guy.
Mm-hmm. It's with love.
Well, I can tell you that the gumbo. I was all excited. I was in a sort of a shopping frenzy when I was down south. And then I was in that Rouse's grocery store, and so I bought two or three jars of ready-made roux.
Okay.
And I thought, well, this is convenient. And so this past weekend, I fired up the outdoor portable gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's fun cooking outside.
It is.
And I got out a jar of that pre-made roux. And, it wasn't awful, but it was just in terms of the way the process of making gumbo goes, it just seemed kind of backwards because you kind of had to boil the vegetables forever and everything. And
I would take some of the fun out of it, you know?
Well, that's exactly what happened. But I can report that it turned out real tasty. It didn't quite thicken up the way I would have liked for it to. But green peppers and onions and celery and garlic and okra. And yeah, I cheated and added a little can of petite diced tomatoes into it. And then some shrimp and some of those little ribby ass bay scallops, because the real scallops were way too damned expensive.
You put scallops in yours, okay?
Oh, I did, and then Kaneka sausage too, of course.
Now I have a question about your roux. How do you make yours typically?
Iron pot, oil. You know, you get the oil smoking hot. Put the seasonings in and kind of let them fry in the hot oil, then add the flour and just stir and watch the color change. And the minute it gets to the color you want, you throw in your cool padded dry vegetables. That stops the cooking process. You work those for a while, then you add your liquid, chicken broth or water or whatever you're using.
Okay. See, what I do for mine, now, I have, like, this, it's kind of a strange process. So I use, like you said, chicken broth. But how I do my broth, I throw the garlic and the celery and the onions. I don't chop it up and stuff like that. I just kind of, just big chunks of the celery, the garlic, and the onions. And the bell pepper, and throw that in water with the chicken, and season it up, and let that chicken thighs, let it boil for about an hour or two or whatever, so I can get the broth. And then while that's cooking, I take some more chicken thighs and brown those with a little oil, and brown those up in a pan. And then when those are nice and kind of brown, I take those out. And then I throw in some more, vegetables and stuff, and cook it up. And then I throw in, like you said, the flour and stuff. And then take the broth from the chicken that I cooked and pour that in.
Yeah, see, that would be delicious.
Right. With the flour. And then, and that's what I do. That's how I make my gravy.
Yeah, that would be plenty tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple more. I'll probably use up the roux. The jarred roux, but I'm going to go back to making my own. It's just more fun that way.
It's a certain thing that is just not right to take. Like you said, it's fun to experiment because you want to give the process a try, because sometimes you want the gumbo, but you don't want to go through the process, and you want to see, okay, well, maybe I can have gumbo more often if they can come up with a decent roux that I don't have to go through all this. But as you saw or found out, you're like, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, so see, I thought gumbo would be nice for Columbus Day weekend because it's a really, really, really not European food.
Speaking of Columbus Day,
mm-hmm.
I heard the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, and unfortunately, I didn't hear the reporter's name that said it because it was on the radio. And if I had, I would have instantly have tweeted back to him. So, yes, you know, or you may or may not know, the Dodgers played the Braves yesterday in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, right. Game 3 in Atlanta, so, wasn't it?
Game 4?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was game 4 because they played – yesterday was Monday – because they played Sunday in Atlanta. Atlanta won Sunday, and then the Dodgers won yesterday. So this idiot said, well, in honor – of Indigenous People Day, let's hope the Dodgers beat the Braves.
Huh? What?
So, what are you doing?
Wow. Just wow. I'm trying to, well, that don't make any sense at all, Tracy.
Mm-mm. Now, if it was now for Indigenous Peoples Day that the Braves beat the Dodgers,
yeah, you could, yeah. Oh Jesus!
Mm-hmm.
White people.
I was white people. I was sitting there on the listening to that because I didn't quite catch. And I'm like, this is one of those times where I wish they had a rewind button on the radio, because it's like that's when it sucks. Because like if I was at home watching television on, because I have TiVo, and I could have rewound it and said, excuse what? You get spoiled when you have TiVo, because there's a lot of stuff that I've heard on the TV, and I'm like, wait, what did they just say? And if it's live TV, I could rewind it, and I'm like, wait, what? But you can't rewind live radio. Once they say it, it's over. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, Lee in New York just sent a note in. Subject line, wet nurse. I had a dear friend who was born in 1902 in Pensacola, Florida. A wet nurse was needed when my friend was a newborn. His mother had to nurse her black son on one breast and the white baby on the other breast. No sharing.
Well, actually, I actually nursed my best friend's, my best friend, I was babysitting her for her because she had just graduated from law school and was working like crazy hours as a new first year or whatever. And her son and Alex were the same age. Her son was a couple of months older. And she would, you know, pump her breast milk, but he wouldn't take her breast milk. And so I had to nurse him a couple of times. And, you know, years later, I told him that story. I thought he was going to die. He's like, oh, no, really? You know, things you do to embarrass, you know, teenagers.
Yes.
Because these are things that you do. But yeah, no, I've done wet nurse. I've nursed him and I nursed one of my nieces, because, her mother couldn't nurse her. So, you know, it's like, it's just fucking food, whatever, you know,
I know.
And the way I was producing, I was more than happy to, you know, it's like, let's do this. Come on, let's go. Yeah. So. No, but yeah, every time I think about that, I mean, it's just the fact that the woman asked me, you know, like I said, it's just because it never even crossed her mind that Alex was my child because of how light he was. It's just like, do you know anything about genetics? Yes, stupid fuck. Obviously you don't. That a dark-skinned woman can have a light-skinned baby. And even if my Alex's father wasn't white, there's still a possibility that I could have had a light skinned child, because it happens.
Well, I just got a tweet from the Blue Hen. Oh man, nothing's changed. 20 years ago, cops called on the dad of my friend's kid. Dad's dark, son's light. Parents had shared custody and met at a restaurant so the kid could go with his dad. As kids will do, he fussed. The dad was handcuffed for kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego, Indigenous Peoples Day. What's the premium when the team gives the first 500 visitors to the ballpark? A Dodgers tote bag filled with the torn-up pieces of all the broken or otherwise violated treaties between the tribes and the forked tongue-speaking white devils? That sounds about right. The Braves went down. Kind of bummed me out. But
I'm sorry.
But so did the Yankees. And that's a good thing. So
who's playing on the? Because who is California? Let's see, it's LA and the Brewers, the Dodgers and the Brewers, right?
Yeah.
And then who's playing on in the American? We're National League, right?
Yeah, right.
So who's playing for American League?
The Astros.
The Astros and who?
The Astros won their series with the Indians 3-0.
Oh shit!
Wait, the Yankees aren't done yet, apparently. No, but the Red Sox beat them 16-1 yesterday. Game four. They're in the middle of the first at Yankee Stadium right now.
Okay.
So it'll be the Brewers and the Dodgers, and more than likely the Red Sox and the Astros.
And Houston is who won the World Series last year against the Dodgers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could be another matchup with the Dodgers and the Astros again. Yeah.
Yeah, that could happen.
Hmm. Well, it'll be awesome if the Dodgers do win because it was, 30 years ago that they haven't won a World Series in 30 years. They won in 88.
Yeah, that was
the year Alex was.
And that's the year of the Kirk Gibson walk-off.
Right. And Alex is like, hopefully, it'll be great that it'll be, the same year that he was born. I'm like, that'll be kind of awesome because they haven't won yet. So, I know shit all about baseball. It's all about, because of JR. Speaking of which, because that's the only reason why we have Spectrum Cable. So, talk about the level of bullshit that you have to go through to watch television nowadays, right? Now, before Spectrum took over, just about, every channel was basic. Like Pop TV, BET, all these channels were basic, right? And then Spectrum took over. So now there's fucking tiers of channels, right?
Right,
so
yeah.
So if I want to watch, like, Turner Classic Movies and all that, I have to, that's on a different tier. And all that, right? So I had, we were trying to save money. So I got rid of that tier. We're just on whatever tier we're on at the moment. So last week, Spectrum has, well, Time Warner now Spectrum, has exclusive rights for the Dodgers and the Lakers. And like I said, that's the only reason why we still have Spectrum. So in all the years that we've had Spectrum or Time Warner or whatever the fuck it is, there's never been an issue with Jan watching any game, any Dodger game, whether it was a home game, away game, playoff, World Series, whatever. Not an issue, right? So game one of the first week of the first playoff game, Jan goes to, she goes to watch the game, right? And it's not on the Time Warner, whatever, the Spectrum Sports Net. That's the channel that you watch the Lakers and the Dodgers on. And so she's like, I'm like, what the fuck? So I Google, have you watched the Dodger game, right? And it says you have to have, get this, Major League Baseball Network.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like,
See, I remember way back in the day when Ted Turner bought the Braves, and he turned WTCG into the superstation TBS.
Right.
And you got the whole Braves season right there on TBS, and you know there was always a baseball game on. But and whether you know whether yeah, you're right, it's a pain in the ass to watch TV anymore.
So I call Time Warner going ape shit crazy because I'm like, what the entire fuck? I'm like, the whole reason for this exercise is that we could watch Dodger games. When did you decide that now of all the games in the world? Now you are broadcasting a game, a home game at that, a major league network, because the whole thing is that none of the Dodger games are ever on Major League Baseball Network. They're always on. And it's like, well, such and such and such and such. And so I had to speak to a manager because I was pissed. So they're like, well, man, what's
hotter than fish grease?
You know, hotter than fish grease. So they're like, well, what you could do is so you can watch tonight's game, you can, you know, pay, you know, put it on your bill and then call tonight after the game is over and cancel it. And that's exactly what I did. Because then all the other games are on Fox Sports Network. And I'm like, why do we even have Spectrum? Just so happens that the game yesterday was on Spectrum. And I'm like, this is some bullshit. Because they have, in the 5 years or however long this has happened, that Spectrum bought the exclusive rights to the Dodgers and to the Lakers, I have never, except for like during like the major playoffs, but even still, it's never even on Major League Network or whatever. It's either on, you know, ESPN or, you know, TNT or TBS or whatever. That's already a part of, you know, regular cable. But it's such a fucking pain. I mean, when I was
Marty tells me postseason baseball is not broadcast locally. The rights are split between TBS and I think Fox Sports 1. The ALCS will be on TBS. So I guess that means Fox Sports is going to have the Dodgers and the Brewers.
Yeah, this is new. This never happened before. It has never. I don't know when this. I guess this is something new this season because except for, like I said, like TBS and TNT or whatever. But like I said, that's part of regular cable, so it's like it's no big deal. But it's like, come the fuck on, man. I mean, when I was a kid, you could watch, the Dodgers were on Channel 11 and the Lakers were on Channel 9. Now, those were local television stations. That was it. All the games.
You know, another thing, I'm so old, I remember day playoff World Series baseball.
Yep.
I remember coming home from school and seeing the Pirates and the Orioles playing in the middle of the afternoon in a World Series game.
Oh, they don't do that shit no more.
Mm-mm. No money in it. Yeah, no, that's bad
no
for the money.
No money in it.
Hey, by the way, Alexander was kind enough to send me the link for the Richard Pryor Leon Spinks bit. You want to? This is precious. Only takes a couple of minutes. God, this is worth the laugh.
I admire Brother Leon Spinks too a whole bunch. You know, I hope in my heart, really hope in my heart, that the nigga get a chance to put some money away. Before they steal it all. You know, because I know they on him like flies on shit, man. Wish somebody could talk to the nigga and say, hey, brother, put some away for at least 20 years, you know? Something. It don't matter about how much you sniff, put it away, sniff the interest. Leon, though, you got to admit, Brother Leon have bad luck. I mean, he got a good heart, man. This motherfucker got a good heart. You know he's a good human being because he gave Ali, he said, I may be dumb, but I know right from wrong. He gave Ali a shot, you know what I'm saying? And the motherfuckers didn't even want him to fight Ali. I hate when white people be calling Spinks dumb, too, right? They be like, don't you think he's dumb? My mind immediately say, what is this motherfucker going to think of me if I agree with him? I mean, he may not articulate the language, but it ain't his anyway. Like to see how you do in Zaire, motherfucker. But bad luck be tipping up on Leon tomorrow. Hello. That's what gives him such heart to fight. Leon say, I ain't got nothing to lose. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no tifus. And I definitely ain't got no driver's license. In St. Louis, man, about 4 weeks ago, and there was about 10,000 people in the audience, and all them motherfuckers looked like Leon Smith. Even the white people looked like Leon Smith in St. Louis. But
Jesus,
bad luck
he was
be
brilliant.
Fucking with him. Here's a nigga get busted for $1.50 worth of cocaine. Do you hear me? $1.50 worth of cocaine. Have you ever seen $1.50 worth of cocaine? $1.50 worth of cocaine melt before you open the paper. You got to have a ballistics expert on the spot to examine that kind of shit. And people say, well, how did he get busted for $1.50 worth of cocaine? I have a theory. Would you like to hear it? If you buy $1.50 worth of cocaine from any cocaine dealer in America, he gonna tell on your ass. Ain't no dealer in America facing life in prison for $1.50 a loan. He gonna tell on your ass. You can't go to his house at 7 in the morning. No matter. Who is it?
Leon.
What you want, man?
$1.50 worth of cocaine.
So, nigga, you got to be crazy.
Hey, don't worry about it, bro. I'll pay you tomorrow.
Say, baby, you want to fix up that $1.50 worth of cocaine for Leon and make that phone call we was talking about? Here you go, champ. Try to get to the car with it. Put it in your hat. Leon be wearing some hats.
God. God almighty.
You know what? I take that back. I have heard that. I mean, not the whole thing. I ain't got no car. I ain't got no tifus.
Oh, and you know, I love his white people voice. Nobody. You know, just nobody.
Nobody. Eddie Murphy.
Close, but no. I mean, from where I stand, you know, Richard Pryor is, you know, he's the guy on the mountain. It's a toss up between him and Carlin, and I give Richard Pryor the edge.
You're right. Cause only Richard. I mean,
I'm gonna get. I'm by the way, I'm gonna get hate mail for that.
Yeah,
But
see, the thing is when you play stuff like that, or if you play George Carlin stuff, it just makes me miss them so much. It's like, oh.
Carlin, Pryor, Bill Hicks,
we need them now.
Yes. People like Stephen Colbert do a pretty good job with Trump, but can you imagine Richard Pryor deconstructing Donald Trump?
Oh, poetry in motion. Masterful. I just left out of the, because remember I told you I'm making miso butter, and of course I have to go to the Asian market to get the miso. Oh my God, I could spend hours in there.
Oh, that's going to have some serious umami going for it, that miso butter.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm making it from scratch. It has, so I get the miso and, mix it with chives, garlic, and a little cayenne pepper just for, grins and giggles.
Yeah, just a little zip.
Just a little zip.
You're gonna use some good highfalutin butter too?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got that at Ralph's. I got the
The private selection French butter is very good.
No, remember I told you, what did I make the other day and I told you about it?
Yeah.
Oh, and I had the take and bake at home French bread, and I got the salted French private selection French butter.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
Yeah, that was the same day you got the truffle. That was the same day you got the truffle aioli, I think.
Yes, not truffle, black garlic.
Yeah.
Black garlic aioli.
Well, I have to, Bridge Day. Bridge Day is a week from Saturday.
And what's Bridge Day?
Bridge Day is the largest single day festival in the state of West Virginia. When a quarter of a million people go and stand out on a bridge that's 876 feet high and watch people jump off.
White people.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. It's those things, like one of the things that I giggle about, and I'm just glad that my wife is not one of those white people that go on vacations that you could possibly die from.
Yeah, it's a good time. And
did you say 860 feet?
876.
Oh, okay.
And they put a platform. They extend a platform out from one side of the bridge. And people, it's the only national park that allows base jumping. And people go out on that platform with their parachutes and they jump. And they open their parachutes and they float to the bottom of the canyon, and then they get on the bus and they come back up and they jump again. And it goes on from about 7 in the morning to about 3 in the afternoon. And so
I've gathered that they have food and music and
it's turned into this. It was a 1 day festival, but now it's a 2 day party. And there's a huge concert in Fayetteville, and there's doings the night before. I'll probably take that Friday night off.
Good for you.
I'll probably take that Friday night off because I put in an order up at the Wiggling Pig for a brisket.
Oh.
And
portable cooking?
No. This is going to be too big for that. I'll have to use the acorn, and I'm going to smoke the brisket, and then I'm going to shred it to bits, and do my from scratch homemade Hell's a Poppin' chili.
Nice.
Where I make the chili sauce from scratch out of the dehydrated peppers, dehydrated chilies. And rehydrate them, put them through a Foley food mill, and come out with this beautiful brick red, fiery as hell chili sauce, and mix it with smoked roasted garlic, and smoked onions and green peppers and the meat and the broth off of the and the broth off of the brisket. Oh, it's good. It's good.
Wow. Oh, okay. So changing the subject for food to file under the heading, are you fucking kidding me, bureaucracy bullshit? So yesterday, I had, because of Columbus Day, the school that I drive for, there was no school yesterday. So I decided to do access to make up for that day of work. So I left my house early because I had to go get gas and, you know, get the car wash. So and it was still dark. So I noticed that there was something on my windshield. I just thought it was maybe a flyer or something. So I paid it, no, never mind. So I stopped and got gas, and then I went through the car wash. And, of course, the car wash is brightly lit. And I noticed it's a fucking parking ticket. But by the time I noticed, it was too late for me to get out the car because it was in one of those drive-through car washes, and I was about to get out the car and get wet. So, of course, by the time I finished with the car wash, the ticket had blown off my windshield and all that. So I drive through the car wash, and the ticket is, you know, lying on the ground. So I get out, and it's a parking ticket for $68. You know why?
Why?
Because my tire was on the curb, on the sidewalk. Do you know when I got this ticket, Bob? Sunday night.
Somebody working their quota.
Now, exactly, because let me tell you how this such the reeking of the bullshit this is. Because my block where I live next to two, not one but two medical offices, right? And people, because they don't want to pay to park, they park all up and down my fucking street, taking up, you know, parking. I come home, and it's very dirty. If I come home during the day, well, I can park on the street in my driveway. But if anybody comes over to my house or if Alex comes home early, there's fucking nowhere to park. People have parked and blocked me in the driveway or blocked me so I can't pull into my driveway, or they have moved my
trash
can.
But you got rung up for $68 for having your car, your tire touching the curb?
Right. Enforcement driving around ever to catch these motherfuckers, you know, doing what they do. But they come through on a fucking Sunday and give me and walk up on my property and give me a fucking parking ticket when I'm parked in my goddamn driveway.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You're gonna try to fight it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm like, you, this is just such really just unmitigated bullshit. And that was just the beginning of my day, and let's just say, I'm not even going to go into how bad my day went yesterday. It just compounded on top of each other to the point that by 11 o'clock that morning, I picked up a customer, and he upset me so badly that I started to cry. And I don't cry. And so he apologized for making me cry. And so then I called my dispatch because everything was just messed up with my route, and finally they couldn't find my route and all this. So I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I am done. I'm not working anymore today. So I called Jan and said, I'm going to the movies, and I'll see you when I get home, because I wanted to see A Star Is Born, and she didn't want to see it anyway. So I'm like, I'm going to go see A Star Is Born, and I'm going to Olive Garden because she doesn't like the Olive Garden. So I took myself to the Olive Garden. I self-medicated with food.
Atta girl.
And then I went to see A Star Is Born.
And
I came home. I loved it. I mean, this is the fourth version of this movie.
Yeah, I think.
And I enjoyed it. Yeah. First one was Janet Gaynor and Frederick March. Second one was Judy Garland and James Mason. Third one, which is my favorite. Well, it used to be my favorite, was with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson, and now Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did.
It took
my mind off the day.
The casting alone, and I guess Bradley Cooper directed it too?
Yeah, and he performs. He's doing his own singing and guitar play.
Wow. Yeah. No, that'll be, well, I'll wait till it's on, you know, some streaming platform. But, yeah, I'd kind of like to see that.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Same story. I mean, they didn't change, so if you've seen the first three, it's just basically the same story. I think they did a better job with the story. And the chemistry between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper was good. And it was nice seeing, they even gave Eddie Griffith a little part, which was nice seeing him, and Dave Chappelle. And Andrew Dice Clay was actually good.
What? I didn't realize he was in it.
He plays Lady Gaga's dad.
Wow. Time does pass, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, wait. Because I'm looking at him like, is that fucking Andrew Dice Clay? My God.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mentioned about rewatching Goliath. It blew my mind when I realized that the head of the big, nasty defense contractor corporation, kind of a squat little guy with long hair that was certainly sort of balding, and Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow. He's turning into Van Morrison. Yeah.
No, but I enjoyed it. It took me down. It took me, and Olive Garden is just what I needed, because it's all you can eat or never ending pasta bowl this month or whatever. So I was like, yeah, bring it on.
I know. I'm powerless over there, Alfredo. I know it's a chain and everything, but I've got a real problem with their Alfredo. It's,
oh no! You know what I tried the other day? They have a whole artichoke. What's the artichoke pesto? Something creamy artichoke.
Oh, I'll eat anything. I'll eat anything with artichokes in it.
Yeah, it was quite good.
Yeah,
it was quite good. So there you go. So anywho, well, I'm going to let you go so you can finish up the show.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna wind things up here, Tracy.
Before I forget, I'll throw out a $20 challenge just to say goodbye on.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you, because it's been a kind of a lean night.
I heard. I'm like, come on, people. I know, things are kind of tight right now, but, like Bob says, 10 at 20 and, or 20 at 10 or whatever. It adds up. It adds up. And we're fortunate that we have this outlet. We don't, this is a respite and a place to go to, because we have nowhere else to go, really, for sanity. And if it wasn't for Bob and the Horn family, my life would just be, oh my God, and just like that, oh my God. So, scrape together, use coupons, whatever the hell you have to do. But, do your best.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Michael in Madison just shared something with me. I didn't realize this, but Michael says he hasn't seen A Star Is Born yet, but the song Maybe It's Time that's in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Written by Jason Isbell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The soundtrack is amazing.
Isbell sent the song through Dave Cobb, a Nashville-based producer with whom Cooper had been collaborating.
It's worth seeing. And there's a couple other movies coming. Oh, there's a movie coming out, and I'm going to really go this time. But there's a movie coming out. I think it's coming out in November with my girl Viola Davis and Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, Robert Duvall, the brother from Get Out.
Oh, wow.
And the brother from, I don't know, have you ever watched Atlanta?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times, yeah.
Okay, so the brother that plays Paperboy, he's in it, and a couple of other women. So the premise of the movie is
these four women, and Viola Davis is the head of them, are widows of these men who pull a job, and they steal $2 million from the brother that plays Paperboy and the brother that plays in Get Out. And so they get caught and they get killed. But the they steal the $2 million. I guess the $2 million is confiscated or whatever. And so it now it's on them to repay that debt.
Well, now that we know it's in its final season, it's safe for me. I started watching The Americans last night.
Ooh.
And I haven't watched it yet. I was a little skeptical, but it grabbed me pretty quick. So I think I'm going to enjoy that. By the way, Tracy, you just very gently got called out.
What did I do now?
Vanessa writes, "Hey, Tracy, I beg you don't generalize. I went bungee jumping when I was 19, and my coworker just went skydiving, and we're, wait for it, black."
Black. So what?
Vanessa says, carry on, love you guys.
Two black people out of how many millions of white people?
So I will do my best to...
count the black people, Bob. Count the black people for me. Count the black people.
I'll count the black people at Bridge Day. Okay, I will. Now do I have to... Wait. Is it just folks showing up? Or do we actually have to have, people who actually jump off the bridge?
I want a count of the black people. Because, see, I used to tease my father, because my father skied and he played tennis. And I used to tease him, I'm like, you bougie motherfucker, you. I regret now that I never learned how to play tennis or ski, because it would have been good. But my father was in the ski club, the all-black ski club, the whole shebang. But, yeah, I'm a bougie motherfucker. But, no, I know black people. I know black people bungee jump and skydive and stuff like that. But definitely not so much.
It'll be really packed up by the platform, but I'll dig out my binoculars and see if I can get some sort of account.
I just want to know if there's more than 20 people, if there's more than 20 black people there, I will be shocked. I will be shocked, but it could happen. So now you're on a mission, Bob.
There will be more than 20 in the quarter of a million people.
No, jumping
20. That's a pretty tall number.
That's what I'm saying. If there's more than 20 people jumping.
Oh, and by the way, if you want to get a little snapshot about the area that I call home, excellent article in the New York Times today. It's West Virginia's, the title is West Virginia's Small Town Revival, and it focuses on Fayetteville.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check that
so
out.
So maybe go and, well, yeah, I... go and check that out. By the way, let's see, Steve in New York says hi, and with your challenge, he said, now I'm pleading. Let's pull it together and close the gap tonight, folks. So, Tracy, thanks for the challenge, and hopefully it'll get met in the next 7 minutes or so, and that'll take us down to, if we do that, that'll take us down to only $300 this evening and a nice round even five tomorrow.
Awesome.
Thank you, Tracy.
No, I am good. Good night, my love.
All right, and we'll be expecting a report on the miso herb butter with the, oh, my God.
Night.
Later. And that's our pal Tracy, the lady cab driver. My goodness gracious. Miso herb butter? Damn. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And, I'm looking forward to making the chili. I haven't made that from scratch chili in probably 15 years, 10 maybe. Because it's really labor intensive, but it's really worth it when you get done. Oh, it's yummy. A little bit of Goonin on the Olive Garden, courtesy of Randy in PA. Olive Garden is so cheap that they don't or didn't salt their pasta water because their pot insurance doesn't allow for it. You know, I've been told that you should not salt your pasta water. But then again, you know. But yeah, I've been known to wander in there for endless soup and salad and bottomless pasta bowl and all of that stuff, you know. And, you know, about the fourth bowl, I said, you said it was all you can eat. And I said, you've had all you can eat. Right. Let's close the evening out with something fun. Steve from Georgistan sent this along a little bit ago. The backstory on this is that somehow or another, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, has chickened out of another debate with Beto O'Rourke. The last time he chickened out, he blamed it on the confirmation process. It was slated for Sunday. The confirmation process was over last Saturday, but somehow it prevented Rafaelito from being able to debate. Well, he was invited to a CNN town hall debate with Beto O'Rourke, and it was slated for Thursday, the 18th of October, in McAllen, Texas. And CNN is reporting, quote, Senator Ted Cruz's campaign initially accepted CNN's invitation to participate, but has since bowed out. It'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on the 18th, hosted by Dana Bash. And it will be Rafaelito free. Let's remember, it's still an uphill climb. But damn, it's a hill worth climbing. I mean, if they're short of maybe chinless Mitch McConnell, if there's one person I think most Democrats would like to see out of the Senate, it is that revolting, hypocritical, slimy, slippery, odious Rafaelito Cruz. Which leads me to the audio that Steve sent along. Sonny Carl Davis. And I love it when things catch up to us. Was it a month ago, 2 months ago, when I asked our buddy John Bridivo, I said, so, since when do Texans let people talk shit on their family and just get away with it and then go kiss an ass on them? Because that's, you know, what Trump said about Cruz is unforgivable, but there's Cruz with his needle nose right up the orange fundament. And lo and behold, here we are again. Check it out.
Somebody left something on my door the other day. It said, Ted Cruz, toughest Texas. I mean, come on. If somebody called my wife a dog and said my daddy was in on the Kennedy assassination, I wouldn't be kissing their ass. You stick a finger in their chest and give them a few choice words. Or you drag their ass out by the woodshed and kick their ass, Ted. Come on, Ted.
Political ad paid for by FTC PAC, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And, of course, we were not paid for running that. I ran that for the sheer joy of it. But it's true. A man who won't stand up for his own family, how's he gonna stand up for his constituents? Pathetic. Hey, thank you very kindly to Will in Chicago, who just met Tracy's challenge. Thank you, Will. Thank you so very much. So that takes us down to only $300 to go to finish the evening, and that'll probably mean the deacons are going to be doing wind sprints tomorrow in the cathedral. Thanks to all of you who join in for this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to all of you who keep it on the air with your kind gifts. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.